So today I want to look at the entrance of Jesus now coming into the world. We've been kind of building this thing backwards. I'm going to look at Luke. We're going to look there and then the first part of Matthew. And in Luke 1, as we get ready to kind of read there, let's begin here. Probably we'll go through 26 to 45. Gabriel being sent by God to a city there in Galilee with a message for Mary. We find out throughout these verses that Jesus is going to come through a divine conception by that of the Holy Spirit. Mary trusts and accepts God's will for her life. That God has done the impossible with Elizabeth, with that of the birth of John, and now with that of the birth of Jesus, you know. Not that John was conceived by that of the Holy Spirit, but that they were going to have a child, okay? But Zacharias didn't quite understand that. They were up in years and things of that nature, like many of us here today. We're here like we have passed that part of our season, right? And if something would come to you and it wouldn't be that of the virgin birth, but if the Lord would say, "And Tim, you and Dean, as she retires, will be having a child," I will not go home and tell her that. Unless I'm standing at the door and I go, "Hey, I got a message from God for you, honey. I'll be back when it sinks in." Ah, boy. But, you know, we find that Gabriel, busy, you know, appears to Zacharias to tell him that his wife, Elizabeth, is going to be with a child. They're going to be called him John. So let's look at that. Let's just go in Luke 1, 29. And we know the story. Oh, I'm sorry, 26. We got to start. I was going to say, no, not in 29. Luke 1, 26. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.'" Verse 29. "But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. And then the angel says to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus.'" Verse 32. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Verse 34. "Then Mary says to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.' Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." And then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah, and entered at the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And when it had happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, and the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told to her from the Lord." Quite a story taking place. Interesting thoughts throughout there as you read. As we were reading through, did you stop at any particular verse and think about that? Or, you know, like, 37, "For with the Lord nothing will be impossible." See, we find that in our lives today, that God has magnificent plans for all of us. And no way near is what Mary had, but he's got plans for us. And we look at these things and we have that hope, we have that belief, and I hope we have that trust to say, well, nothing is impossible with God. Because we're all on a trajectory of what our life is about. And we don't know, we're still going, aren't we? All of us that's in this room today, we're still going, we're still breathing. We still have things to do. But anyway, I want to encourage us that, for with God, nothing isn't going to be impossible in your life. And going through horrendous times in our earthly endeavors, and prayers for those that are going through those, that eventually they will see the outcome. Eventually they will see the clarity of what God has in store for them. Amen? Myself included, and as I look around at each one here, things going on in your own very personal lives are monumental, I would say the least, in some cases, right? Our health, things that are happening just in the natural, whatever that is, family situations. But if we stay tuned to that of God, and we trust and know for sure that nothing is impossible for God, that that's who I'm going to stick with. That's what I'm going to stay with. Because why? Because I read these stories that took place and unfolded back then with the birth of Jesus. Totally impossible. Never had been done before in the past, right? Now, back in the Old Testament, yes, you know, Sarai and Abraham, they had a baby, you know. That was kind of impossible at their age. So God does the miraculous when we look at the things in the natural to say that it's kind of impossible. And so God is still the same God today, moving forth, fulfilling what he wants to do. Now, as we looked at these things, Mary was a young, poor female. All these characteristics that the people of her day would look at to say, well, she is totally unable to be used by God. Especially for a major task that God would have in store. Sometimes people look at us to say, I can't believe God's going to do that with you or through you or for you. At whatever the case might be, your age, your abilities, your talent, maybe because of your past. But God is God. And with God, all things are possible. But we're looking at Mary, this young girl, probably 15-ish, 14-ish. I think as you look, Joseph might have been maybe early 20s or something like that, you know, age-wise and things that take place. But they were young, for sure. They didn't have the background that you would think that God would want to use someone. But he confounds the wise with what he does. So Mary being used by God for this major task. We can learn much from Mary and what God had in store for her, for our own personal lives here. You may look at your own abilities, your experiences, your education, and all of us would say, I am so unworthy. But God says that I will do the miraculous within you. And so we have to trust God, for there's no other way to do it but to trust him. But God has a reason for who and whom he does the miraculous in. Amen? In 30 to 31 in Luke, even if you have God's favor, it doesn't automatically bring instant success. When we look at Mary, the honor of being the mother of the Messiah, she would still experience pain and she'd still be ridiculed. Her son would be rejected and murdered. her submission to God brought about salvation to us. All of that she went through was the divine plan and purpose of that of God for this very day that we sit here today. And it's for that same plan and purpose that's going to be here tomorrow and the next day and the next Christmas. And how many Christmases will come before the return of Jesus? But each day is going to be filled with the plans of God. Amen? That's exciting. You know, we're leaving out of 2025, preparing to step our foots into the 2026. And we look at this past year and we're in and we're thinking like, oh Lord, I can only hope 2026 is going to be better than what it is in 25. We all hope that, right? We can all pray that and desire that. But I can't stand before you, and nobody could stand before us to say, but it will be better for you. It's like, oh Lord, it can't get much worse than this. Don't say that, you know, because we don't know. But we do have a trust. If we got to keep our faith and our trust fixated and focused on that of God, we got to trust and believe, like that of Mary and being told this, that was, how is this going to happen? But as you say, Lord, so be it, right? So anyway, we look at these things. Even to this day, when you look at the scriptures that we've read, the birth of Jesus to a virgin is a miracle that many people back then would have found hard, and they find it hard to believe it today. Have you had conversations with people even of today? And they say, how can you believe that? How do you know that? I know it because the Bible says so. So it's that faith within us individually that we have grasped the very word of God to support our lives here today. And yes, a lot of it seems far-fetched. A lot of it seems impossible. But God is the God of the impossible. Amen? You got to believe that. You got to get it into the core of your spirit that God is the God of the impossible. And I'm a child of His. And I'm going to trust Him and lean on Him and believe in Him. Earlier in Sunday school, I talked about this, but in Luke 1:35, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. When we look at the Bible and we look at the overshadowing, we're going to come across some things within that. But the overshadowing, the Greek word is episkiazo. Pisiesco or zo. It means to envelop with a divine protective presence or glory. That's what Mary was overshadowed with. The divine protective presence of glory. It casts a luminous shadow, maybe, that signifies God's nearness, His power, His miraculous work. Like in the Annunciation to that, or pronouncing that to Mary over the Transfiguration, we find that, but I'm going to get there right now. And, you know, overshadowing is spoken of a few times in the Scriptures. Exodus is one of those areas. You know, you look at the children of Israel being led by a clouded day and a fire at night. So Exodus 40, starting in verse 34. Exodus 40, 34. And then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel could go on their journey. But if the cloud was not taken up, they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. Verse 38, for the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and the fire was over it by night, in the sight of all of the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. That cloud overshadowing, that was an overshadowing of God in that tabernacle. I believe as we would look at the children going through the desert, and they needed a sign, they needed direction, the miraculous of God was that cloud to follow by day, to his following in the direction. How many feel like you're out on a journey and you need direction? You need a compass. You need a GPS. The Spirit of God will be that GPS for us. And back then, how did they know? But we're going to follow this cloud, but now at night by that of the light. But here again in our lives today, I believe that we still get overshadowed by that of God during our journeys with him. It implies a supernatural covering. This covering imparts power, purity, divine influence. It sets someone apart. Basically, we've all been set apart for the work of his. I think all of us have had that divine cloud overshadowing us. Again, not to the measure that Mary had, okay? But it's that power of God and what he has desired to do in our lives. This term overshadow carries profound significance, including that of the divine presence and protection of God. I believe that as we are doing what God wants us to do, we have also divine protection. Do you believe that? If you're on a journey for God, he's got his angels placed around you. He's going to protect you. He's going to guide you. He's going to guard you. Whatever it is, I believe I walk with that of the protection of that of God. How about you? But we've got to make sure that we're being obedient. It's those times that I think when we step off from being the obedience of what God wants, that we possibly step out into a realm that maybe that protection may not be there. We speak of it possibly, I mean, way back in the church here, I would remember it being said that you got to stay under the umbrella of God. Anybody heard that terminology before? The umbrella of God. I could look at that as that you need to stay under the overshadowing of that of God for this life of yours. And to think back that this very overshadowing or that umbrella of God over me could be very well that of what overshadowed Mary in those times or overshadowed the tabernacle back in that time. For God is God of today. Amen. And he's still marching on, and we're still marching on with him, with the job and a task before us to do. And it's not going to be by us or our power. But we've got to remember, we carry on because we want to make sure we stay under the protection of God. And how do we get ourselves off of that? Disobedience. To know to do good and not do it is sin. It's hard sometimes for that to be told to people. But I believe in even some good people, that if we don't monitor ourselves, that we could get off into that area of disobedience very easily. Remember, I had shared back about sin, and the definition is basically sin means missing the mark. If we miss the mark that God has for us, sin has happened. I think it's a very important thing to be aware of, myself included, and I'm no angel. I've got things I've got to deal with and work with, and I've still got to repent, and I still got to Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for saying 6-7 on school grounds. But those are the things that we all are working out. It says, work out your salvation with what? Fear and trembling. I'm not scared of God, but it just tells me that I need to pay attention, as we all do, with what comes out of our mouth, what we think about as far as trusting of that of God. I don't think you can do this, God. I don't think this is possible, God. I don't know how that's going to work, God. There's so much. Hallelujah. But with so much taking place, I need the peace of God. How about you? If you don't want your peace, can I have it? Because I sure could use more. It's not a major bump in the road per se. I mean, there's a lot going on in life, and a lot of other people have a lot worse going on than me and us. But God is concerned with me. God is concerned with you, you and you, and what you're dealing with. And so, press into Him. Press in, not press into what He's got, and a comfort and a direction and the peace. And then, and there's times that it was not always finalized, but I had to get to that point to say, but I have peace. Peace from God, shalom, right? And so I think that as Mary and Joseph even, we'll try to get to Joseph as well, because he got told too that, no, she's a child, don't put her away. But they all had to have peace and confidence in what God was sharing with them through an angel, Gabriel, at least to Mary. And, you know, you look at Zacharias and Elizabeth, but, you know, Gabriel and the angels that God sends our way to communicate to us the message that He wants to share with us. And so we find that. And Lord, I want to remain under Your shadow. I want to remain, Lord, to where I can have that supernatural, that nearness, that miraculous work, the power of You in my life. We need comfort. We need guidance. We need intervention from God above. Amen. I thought as I got older, how many here thought when you got older life would be easier? I mean, honestly, when I was young, and you look at the older aged people, I thought, piece of cake when you get older. What decisions do you have to make? Kids are gone, grandkids are out, the parents take care of the kids, grandkids come over, you sugar them up, love on them, send them home. I honestly believed that I tell people that I've have to make really more decisions. But anyway, as we get older, we find out that the decision making manifests in such a way that because you're stepping into uncharted ground that you're not familiar with. But I believe that what God has for us is perfect. But anyway, I need that, Lord. I need Your comfort. I need Your guidance, like that what You gave Mary and Joseph. And I'm thanking You, Lord, that I can read Your story here. And I can see it in developing, because I know the end of the story. Jesus was born. Jesus walked upon this earth. Jesus did miraculous things in His short span of three and a half years of actual ministry at the age of 30-ish. I know it all took place. I wasn't there, but I know it all took place because I read it in Your divine word, God. And by faith, I receive that. Divine presence, as we look at this overshadowing, is the manifestation of God's immediate presence and the glory, as I've already said, like that of the tabernacle or that of Mount Sinai. It's a supernatural influence. It signifies God's active, powerful, and a lot of times mysterious workings. We see that with the overshadowing of that of Mary. It's that of protection and power. It's a protective covering, shielding us. Oh, hallelujah. So thank You, Lord, for overshadowing Mary. Thank You, Lord, for overshadowing me. Thank You, Lord, for bringing peace and comfort and guidance to me. What do you have to be thankful for this year, folks? Think about it. Think about it. I mean, even when life throws you a curve, anybody had a curveball thrown at you in life? My old days of flesh would rise up. I would have been snorting and crying and whining and fussing. I said, okay, God. Whatever it is, because during that time, the overshadowing of God. Even back a year or so back when we had that car accident, we could have been slathered on the interstate. But I truly believe the overshadowing of God, his protection, his guidance, put a bubble around us on that interstate, being crossways and lanes. God is Dean and mine provider. Yes, employment, working, things, this, yes, but God is our provider. And God works things out as only God can, to where when these things happen, I can give God the glory because he's still God. He's God, amen. He's God in your good times. He's God in your bad times. He's God to get you through anything this side of heaven is going to throw at you, and somebody's going to be stuff thrown at you a lot. But I desire to look at the positive. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But see, as we walk in this world, the very God that did the miraculous to that of Mary, and the plan he has for her and had for her, and he fulfilled it in her and through her, right? Do you not think he's got a plan that he wants to put through you? Amen. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. I'm not crying out for problems, but God, I know when problems come, you're the God of my problem to satisfy it, to take care of it, to get us through it, to help us, Lord, still have joy, unspeakable joy. Merry Christmas, hallelujah. Oh, God is good. God and me have fun. Oh, Jesus, thank you so much. And we're into this holiday, and now we're looking at this. Oh, my Lord, hallelujah. Oh, what about Matthew? Let's look at Matthew quick, and we got to wrap this up. Matthew 1:18, we can turn there, and we read, the news now that Mary receives is shared with Joseph. Joseph, being a righteous man, planned to divorce Mary quietly to avoid shaming her. He was told to name the son Jesus because he would save people from their sins. This eventful fulfills the prophecy that was told back in the Old Testament. Let's look at that in 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, Emmanuel, for he will save his people from their sin. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Could you imagine these two? The ups and downs happening in their lives? Anybody here had ups and downs in your lives? You know, we're looking at a time back then to where a woman not married and would be that of a child would not be looked upon very well, be stoned, cast out. And Joseph, knowing now that, oh, great, she's this, I'll put her away secretly and try to take care of her that way. We find in the Bible, when we read this word betrothed, is a formal legal binding contract, which back then, they were married, basically. When you were betrothed, you were engaged, but yet that held the significance of You're going to be married, and you're going to be considered that way. The conception or the end result of the marriage to be consummated would have been the sexual relations of the man and the woman. But they couldn't have that because she was with that of child. But it's a much stronger than a modern engagement, making the couple husband and wife in a legal sense before physical, requiring a formal divorce to break and often involving a bride price or dowry. It signified a committed and covenant relationship with both for the human marriage and also as a metaphor for God's unbreakable covenant with his people, that being Israel as the bride and Christ with that of the church. The church, we're the bride of who? Christ. And 1:20 in Matthew means, an angel told Joseph in a dream not to fear taking Mary as his wife because her pregnancy was supernaturally conceived by the Holy Spirit, revealing Jesus as God's son, the promised Messiah, thus fulfilling prophecy and beginning, here it is, beginning God's plan for salvation. It began there. God directly intervened in Joseph's confusion. Right? We all get confused. What's the answer, God? I'm confused. But God intervened with that of the angel speaking to him. Have you been in times of confusion and wonderings and doubts? And that God has come by and visited you and brought a peace to you? But a sensation of when you're in a time of just really into that time with God, that you have felt something like that. We think of it maybe like a heaviness, but not a heaviness that you're weighted down with problems, but it's like a heaviness of just the Shekinah glory of God, and that it just envelops you. And you're in that time, and it could be, what, 30 seconds? It could be 20 minutes. Who knows? It could be hours when you get into that time with God and that overshadowing and coming into that. And so, you know, as we go through these things, and here this angel is talking to Joseph, and he's sharing this, and Joseph is kind of, concerned and confused with this whole process being done. We find that this is just fulfilling the link to Jesus, to King David, calling Joseph son of David. It confirms the Old Testament prophecies. This is all confirming what took place hundreds and thousands of years before this, right? That people didn't quite understand. But God was telling them back then that this was going to take place. And he just requested or required out of them what? Obedience. Do what I've asked you to do. Follow this cloud. Follow this light. I would encourage you in your lives today, follow that voice of God. That still small voice when he speaks to you. And to say to do this or not to do this. Confirm it, of course, by making sure that you're hearing the right voice, because the enemy likes to counterfeit a lot of things, right? But I think if you're mature in the things of God and you're digging into his word, that you will have that protection. For you'll know that you know that is of God. And what do we normally pray? Lord, if this is not of you, shut the door. Lord, if this is of you, open the door. Whatever the case is, we ask him, Lord, I want to be sure that it is you, Lord. So we look at that even today to make sure we're hearing from the true God. But Joseph is listening, and he's hearing, and he obeys and responds accordingly. Mary heard and obeyed and responded accordingly by that of faith, by trust. We find that the identity of Jesus being the name, meaning Lord saves, that's the mission. The Lord saves. We have that message today to go out and to share with those around us. The Lord saves. Jesus, Emmanuel. What he was powerfully doing back then, he is powerfully doing today. No more, no less. The same power. The same power that raised Christ from the dead. Dwell in you. Dwell in you. That same power is dwelling and is available to dwell in us if we are obedient to say, come, lead, and guide, and here I am, Lord. Here I am. Work through me. Use me, Lord. Hallelujah. And then it validates Joseph's decision to obey God. Obeying that of God shows him as that of righteousness, a righteous man, trusting in a divine revelation over anything of a worldly understanding. These things that God is speaking to these people back then are things out of this world. Do you not think he speaks to you of things of today that are out of this world? Hallelujah, Lord. Ooh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. What all is going to come? What all is planned out? Let us walk into it fully, Lord. Let us take a step, but let us not stop. Let us continue to persevere and not hinder and hold back. Let us, Lord God, be understanding of you and your ways and what you've got designed to do. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, how he loves you and me so much. But Joseph here, what we read through what he followed in that passage is just showing him trusting and believing and obeying that of the things of God. So as we look at today and the days coming up into the birth of Christ, I mean, it's already happened. I mean, it's not like it's going to come again, but we celebrate that. Let it be a time that we remember day after day and even into the new year of what Jesus accomplished and is accomplishing, and be willing to share it with those around you, and they may receive it and they may not, and that's where it is, that's where it's at, right? It's not to get into any kind of fight or, you know, a chokehold on them, things like that. It's just to share the joy you have, the love you have, the faith you have, and pray that they too will receive that same in a way that God has planned for them. For, you know, we look at these people that are estranged from God, and I was estranged from God many years ago, as we all were. But God, in his faithfulness, and he knew, he was always there for me. He's been there for you. And it's just a matter of time for these things to hit. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for your word and the direction of your word. Lord, I thank you that your word is powerful, that your word is loving, that your word is alive. And that, Lord, your word can bubble up inside of us, Lord, as we go about these days. And I pray for each one here today, Lord, and here again we are celebrating Christmas, Lord. We've celebrated many, many years now, Lord. But the story is still fresh. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. It gives us excitement and the realization to know that two young people, many thousands of years ago, Lord, what they went through for this of the birth of Jesus, it's a benefit for us of us today and for those in the future, Father God. And we pray right now, Lord, that we all have a job, a work, a ministry through you, Lord, for something to be done in our place of where we live, in our place of employment, our family, Lord. I don't know, but may we always be evident to know that, Lord, we're to share you to those around us to bring joy, peace, a surety. And there'll be those that try to get us upset, try to argue with us over these things, Lord. Are you sure that The Holy Spirit impregnated Mary. Yes, your word tells me, God. But it's my faith that I receive that and I believe that and I trust it, Lord. But Lord, we need to take that and go out and share that same message to those around us. Thank you, Father, for your love for us, your caring for us. Bless each one here, Lord. I pray healing and strength in their bodies. I pray for those that aren't here, Lord, that you will touch them supernaturally where they're at and bring strength and healing into their bodies as well, Father God. Go out with us this day. Let us be able to relax in the days ahead and focus on the real reason for this season. And bless each one, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.